The change of liturgical colors and the Advent wreath and the antipendium on the altar, that we've entered into a new liturgical season, the season of Advent. It comes from the Latin word advenio, which means coming or presence. Initially, the Latin word was used for the presence of the emperor, but as the church became public in its worship in the Roman Empire, the word was transferred to the coming of Jesus into the world at the end of time, the advent of God into the history of human beings. Each part of the liturgical decorations is supposed to mean something to us. We don't naturally have those senses today, so I'd like to explain them. Purple is oftentimes a symbol of repentance or penance. We use purple vestments in the season of Lent, for example. But in Advent, the color is not to represent penance. It's supposed to reflect, it's supposed to represent contemplation or a serious reflection. That's supposed to be the mood of the Advent season. And our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, today in a talk he gave in Rome, pointed to Mary as the model of the Advent spirit. She's the one who pondered deeply in her heart the mysteries of God as she was called to be the mother of Jesus. And we're supposed to use these weeks between now and the celebration of Christmas in imitation of Mary to be serious about our Catholic life, our Christian life. And the color purple is an invitation into that serious reflection. The Advent wreath is a way of counting the weeks, four candles for the 4 weeks of Advent. One of them is a brighter color, a rose-colored candle, which is the third Sunday of Advent, which is supposed to be a time of more intense rejoicing as Christmas approaches. But the candles are representative of our hearts burning for the love of Jesus. And so the candles represent our watchfulness, our anxiety, a good anxiety of not wanting to miss Jesus when he comes to us. And the candles are set in a wreath of evergreens, which is to represent eternity. It's a circle that never ends. And new life, the green of the evergreen leaves, represents life. Even in the winter, the evergreens are still green. They don't die. And so we have time and eternity represented in the Advent wreath. We count our time, which represents our lives, but in the mystery of eternity, because God has the gift of eternal life waiting for each and every one of us if we're faithful to the graces he bestows on us in our lives. So the church wants us to be serious about the Advent season. So I hope what we begin here today will be the spirit that continues in our time between now and Christmas. Also in today's liturgy, because of particular circumstances, we're having the anointing of the sick. Father Gill did a great job at the beginning of Mass, before Mass began, explaining what this is about. You know, for those of us who are older, the anointing used to be called the last rites, something you receive before you die. I'm not planning on dying this week, and I don't think those who are receiving the anointing expect to die. But since the Second Vatican Council, we've had a renewed sense that the sacrament is for those who are ill, for those who, in some very meaningful way, depend on the healing of Jesus Christ in the midst of their lives. And so those who are sitting in the front rows and myself, I'm going to be having knee surgery on Tuesday. We're going to receive the anointing of the sick. Jesus comes to us not only at the end of time, not only in his first coming at Christmas, but he comes to us today in the celebration of the liturgy and the sacraments of the church. And Christ comes to us who will be anointed through the sacred oil to heal us, because he is the divine physician who desires the healing of our souls, but also our bodies. So we're celebrating that mystery in the midst of this Advent celebration. Now, today is also the first day of the liturgical year. The church calculates its time differently than the world around us. Things get started again in the season of Advent. So today is Happy New Year's Day for the church. So Happy New Year to to all of you at the beginning of this Christian year. And Advent's supposed to be the time of new beginnings. It's a time of new resolves to be better at being Christian and new efforts at being faithful to the gospel. So we need to make spiritual New Year's resolutions today. Not about losing weight or getting up earlier in the morning or doing more exercise, but something genuinely spiritual. And I think we have an invitation to that in today's second reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. This is a wonderful Christian New Year resolution. St. Paul says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all." Wouldn't that be a wonderful New Year's resolution, that we're going to do all we can as members of this Christian community to abound, which means abundantly try, to abound in love for one another and for all. Nothing would please God more. He goes on to say, "As to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before God, before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So to strive to abundantly love others and to become blameless in holiness before God would be wonderful New Year's resolutions for you and for me. And we ask the Lord to make this a fresh start. It's wonderful to start again because we fail so often. And we know that God is always on our side when we try to begin again. The Advent season is known as a time of hope. There are three primary Christian virtues. They are faith, hope, and charity. Faith is confidence in God. Charity is loving God with our whole mind, our soul's whole strength, all that we are, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But I think it's more difficult for us to understand what hope is about. What's hope? It's different than optimism. You know, optimism is having confidence that things are going to work out. And it's good to be optimistic. But sometimes things don't work out. Things continue to go badly. For example, I hope that my knee surgery is going to make it possible for me to walk without that silly cane I've been using for the last couple of months. But wonder if the knee surgery goes wrong and I get worse. I could be optimistic and say, oh, it's going to be, no matter what happens, it's going to be, everything's going to work out fine. Sometimes it doesn't work. And if you're optimistic, you get crushed sometimes because things don't go the way you hope they will, right? Hope is a much deeper kind of thing than optimism. Hope is having confidence in God's plan for you. So that means that if my knee surgery doesn't work out, somehow God's going to work things out anyway, because his way is better than my way. Hope is trust in God's future for us. Faith is trusting God now. Hope is trusting God's future plans for us. And Advent is a time of hope, because sometimes the Jewish people, because they were having very difficult times, had to hope in the Lord. Our first reading today is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, spoken to the Jewish people at a very difficult moment in their history, when things were falling apart because of the Babylonian captivity. And this is what God said to them. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, at that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. This is what they shall call her, the Lord our justice." Well, those days didn't come very soon in the lives of the Jewish people. If they were optimistic, they would have been disappointed. But God was promising them a redeemer, and God's promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And people who were faithful Jews hoped in God's promise despite the circumstances of their lives. And you and I are called in the season of Advent to develop this virtue of hope in our own lives. Those of you who are receiving the anointing today, I don't know what the illness you're praying to be healed of is. I hope the Lord does heal you of your illness and does it quickly and completely. But if he doesn't, you shouldn't lose hope, because he loves you. And you can have confidence in God's plan for you, even if it isn't the plan you choose for yourself. And we ask the Lord to help all of us in the church to be women and men who genuinely trust the Lord in faith, have confidence in our future in hope, and love the Lord with all our mind, soul, and strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. So, in the tradition of the church, the Advent season focuses in three different directions. The first direction, during this first and also the second week of Advent, the focus is on the Lord coming to us at the end of time, in history. In the Creed, we say we believe in the resurrection, and we believe in the fact that all of us will come to share eternal life, and Jesus will come again in glory to deliver us from the pains and sufferings of this world. So Advent is a time not only to prepare for the rebirth, for the birth of Jesus at Christmas, but to also hope and plan for our own rebirth at the end of our lives and at the end of time. One of the first prayers of the early church, the Church of the Apostles, was the prayer that we find in the book of Revelation, which is a Hebrew phrase, Maranatha. And the translation of that phrase into English is, "Come, Lord Jesus." The early church prayed that Jesus would come again in glory at the end of time. One of the things I've often wondered is how many of us who are Christians ever say that prayer. We pray for a lot of things. We pray for success in school. We pray for that we might get a better job. We pray to meet the right woman, the right man as our spouse. But do we ever pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus into history at the end of time? Perhaps when we have a problem, like if the Lord's going to come, I hope he comes before Tuesday so I don't have to go through my surgery, you know. We pray that kind of prayer. And when we're having difficulty, we say, oh, I wish this were over with. I wish I didn't have to face it. Would that the end of the world would come. But that's not the kind of prayer the early church prayed. They weren't praying that Jesus would come again so they wouldn't have problems. It's because they longed for the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Is that longing part of your life? Is it part of mine? One of the things we should do as a New Year's resolution in this liturgical year is decide that for the next 4 weeks, we're going to pray this prayer of the early church, and we're going to try to mean it. We're going to ask the Lord to come, Lord, come into this world in which we live, transform it, make it a place of love and peace and justice. Come with your judgment on my life and on the history of our world. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. If we believe, if we're women and men who really believe Jesus, who trust in his word, that should be a prayer that's in our heart and on our lips. And if we pray that prayer for the next 4 weeks of Advent, perhaps it'll become part of our regular prayer, where we'll frequently, maybe get up every day and say, come, Lord Jesus, and really mean it. And then it changes the way we live our lives, because we won't live for material possessions or for pleasure or for importance, but we'll live for the coming of the Lord Jesus into the history of the world. The second kind of the coming of Jesus that we celebrate in the season of Advent is the one I talked about earlier when I talked about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. It's the Lord comes to us now. But the problem is we don't pay attention. We don't see him when he comes. And that's what today's gospel reading is about. Jesus is talking to the early Christian community that had grown drowsy and lazy in its Christian life. Listen to what he says. Jesus gives us this direction. Stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that the day catch you by surprise like a trap. Be vigilant at all times. You know, part of our Christian discipline means that we are vigilant for the ways that the Holy Spirit inspires us to notice Jesus coming into our lives in the reading of Scripture, in the celebration of the sacraments like we're doing tonight, but also in the needs of our neighbor, especially the poor. And the Lord comes to us sometimes in the voice of our spouse, or in the needs of our children, or the concerns of our neighbors, or the suggestions of our friends. And if we are lazy, if we're drowsy from carousing, you know what carousing means? It means living wild lives of sin, or drunkenness, or the anxieties of this world. If we're drowsy because of all of that, there's a danger that we will miss the Lord Jesus when he comes. And so one of the basic messages of the Advent season is you and I need to be men and women who, as Jesus says, stand erect and raise our heads to notice the Lord when he comes to us in our lives, in our time. And then finally, the third coming of Jesus that we celebrate in the Advent season is his first coming as man at first Christmas. We are preparing for the commemoration of the Incarnation, which is the most important moment in human history, when God took on our human flesh and became one of us and began the mystery that ended in his death and resurrection and ascension to the Father. The most important moment in human history, which we will celebrate in a very special way on the 25th of December. And we'll celebrate that very well if we prepare for it now. You know, we don't just show up on Christmas Eve and all of a sudden have a genuine Christian Christmas spirit. It's something we develop during the Advent season. So the three things we're going to do, right? We're going to pray for the Lord to come into our world in his final coming. We're going to ask for attention and sensitivity in our life for the ways he comes to us in a daily way. And in the Advent season, we also are going to prepare ourselves for the commemoration of the first Christmas. May the Lord bring to completion the good work he begins in your lives on this first Sunday of Advent, in the Advent season ahead.